you're going to end up having to deal with this issue. In our culture that is so sexually promiscuous, this is just an ongoing issue, and it's a good area for us to think about. What I intend is to suggest some thoughts, and then I know many of you are veteran biblical counselors, and my intention is to leave some time at the end for discussion and to hear what you've been doing and what you're finding helpful, but I'll get us started in our thinking with this particular outline. Let's pray and ask for God's help, and then we'll move ahead. Father, I ask now that you'd help us to think clearly and precisely about your word. Help me to speak in a way that would be helpful, that would put some ministry tools in these brothers' toolboxes. And I pray you'd help us all to leave this session better equipped to help people in this area of struggle that is so common in our culture. We ask for your help humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will look at the outline, what I've tried to do is take five of the six key elements of the counseling process and talk about this matter, helping the sexually sinful and directing our thinking on it in around this particular part of the outline. So I want to start, first of all, and I'm going to reflect some of the things that I have found helpful in my own ministry of counseling, helping people with this, who are sexually sinful, but also some things that I've learned as I've supervised people pursuing NANC certification and they're reporting on cases where they're working with people that are sexually sinful. All right, one of the key elements in the counseling process is the importance of gathering information. And in this area, I think especially, it's very important that we be thorough. And again, I would want to remind you of Proverbs 18 and 3 verses. And if these verses are not underlined in your Bible, I would urge you to get them underlined, and I would encourage you to meditate on them and think about memorizing these. These are so critical to the whole counseling process, but I have found them to be particularly helpful in dealing with people who are sexually sinful. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it's folly and shame to him." That means before we start telling a person how to rearrange his life and how to handle his sin, we need to make sure that we've taken time to hear it. And I think the tendency is at times, if they are forthcoming with some of the sin, or it's known to us, to just move in on the fact that, you know, you're unfaithful to your spouse, or you've been involved in homosexual sin, or the person's admitted they're addicted to pornography, and we just move in on that right away. I want to encourage you, take time to ask a lot of questions, make sure you understand the full scope of what's happening. Proverbs 18:15 adds, "The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." In other words, that scripture is teaching that we work hard, aggressively, at seeking information and drawing it out. The book of Proverbs says that the heart of a man is like a deep well, but a man of wisdom draws it out. And so we want to become men who are wise in our abilities to draw out the contributing factors to the immorality and the way they rationalize it, the way they look at their sin, and so forth. And then Proverbs 18:17 says, "The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him." That is, there's always two sides to every story. And while we may be talking to a man who will just talk about, you know, the only area where that I'm just really struggling is in this matter of pornography. But I would suggest if you get to talk to his wife, you will discover that the same self-centeredness and rationalizing of sin that allows a professing Christian to get deeply involved in pornography, that is going to show up in other ways in the marriage. And you'll want to hear from the spouse. By the way, on the matter of gathering information, one of the most helpful articles that I have read on this is the article by David Pollison called X-Ray Questions. And it was originally published in the journal Biblical Counseling. A lot of you have the CD. You know, it's got the 29 years of the journal. It'll be in there. Some of you have bought his book. It's in one of his other books. And I think it's in the book Seeing with New Eyes. And that is a fabulous, fabulous chapter on how to gather information and to ask questions that go beyond the surface and really get to a person's motivation. Gathering information, I think, dealing with somebody who's sexually sinful, if you look at point B in your outline, we must seek to understand how the counselee justifies his sin. And I have found that until you're able to get a good understanding of that, of how they look at this particular sin and how they've been able to be involved in this for a period of time, how they've rationalized that, how they've justified that in their thinking, I urge you to work hard at gathering data on that, because that will be critical later when you're calling the person to repent. See, the tendency, I think, sometimes is for us to call the person to repent of the outward sin. You know, the immorality or viewing the pornography. But if we want the person to move toward lasting change, part of what we have to help them do is to repent of the thinking, the various violations of their conscience, the various violations of the biblical principles that have led to the particular sin. So you want to really pull this information out. Be asking for this kind of information. One of the things that I think Romans chapter 1 teaches us is that there are multiple steps down to sexual degradation. Steve Gallagher does a wonderful job of explaining that in his book, At the Altar of Sexual Idolatry. If you're not familiar with that, I'll talk about the book later, but I've been helped by that, particularly in his exposition of Romans 1, and he talks about the multiple steps down to sexual sin. In other words, if you could look at me for just a minute, a person does not go from walking in the light, walking in righteousness one day, and be addicted to pornography the next day. A person doesn't go from walking in the light, living in righteousness one day, and hiring a prostitute the next day. I mean, there are multiple steps down to sexual sin. And I'm urging you, as you gather data, to try to ask questions, draw out the information, so you can help see in this person's life the multiple steps down. Because when they come to us for counseling, my experience has been, often what times brings them in for counseling is they have been discovered at this point. All right? And I know in the early days of my counseling, I focused on that and called them to repent of the act. But I was not near as alert as I should have been to helping them to repent, not just of the act, but we want them to repent and keep repenting. We want them to repent of this, but then repent of this, and repent of this, and repent of this, and repent of this. We repent and keep repenting. And one of the ways we can assist them is helping them to see it, you see. A few years ago, the NANC board had what we called a summit, a special meeting where we were dealing with some theological issues that we were facing, and we had it out in California prior to the beginning of the Shepherds Conference. And, you know, the NANC board's 13 guys, and they're all across the nation and around some parts of the world, and we don't get together very often, and so whenever the NANC board gets together, there's always this time of fellowship and interacting and sharing. And so everybody was just given a brief report on their life and their ministry and kind of updating everybody and going around and sharing some prayer requests. And one of the board members told about his life, his ministry and everything. And then he said, and I just really ask you guys to be praying for, and he mentioned a brother in Christ that all of us have known, a guy who's written an outstanding book in Christian counseling and has spoken at NANC conferences before and has really helped us. I personally have been benefited by his life and his ministry and interacting with him, and said, just we really need to be praying for him right now because of all that's happened. And one of the other guys said, what's happened? And he informed him that, informed the guys who didn't know that he'd been arrested for child abuse. And when he said that, it's just like the air went out of the room. I mean, there was this pregnant pause while just everybody takes this deep breath and lets it out slowly and sighs and shakes their head. And there's this long pause as we learn that another general in the army is down.